Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Filtered. It is Wednesday at 7 a.m. if you're listening to this as it's just gone live. This is our daily digital diary on everything from leadership to wellness to mindset in these really uncertain times. I'm Megan Cassidy and I'm joined by Jamie Heaslip. It's funny, Jamie, last week's episode about morning routines has been one of the most popular episodes to date. And we discovered in that episode that you're a morning person and I'm not. And I'm just laughing that even though we record this super early, you're the one that'll get up and text and say, can we record it even earlier? And I'm trying to scramble.
I shouldn't be on my phone that early.
Yeah. Anyway, today we're chatting about management and the transition from being part of the team to being a manager. What I think is interesting about the subject is that there's kind of two ways to progress within a company and in your career. One kind of trajectory is to just move vertically. And I think those roles are the standalone roles where you really become an expert at what you're doing. And it's actually a standalone role maybe throughout your career. For example, you know, if you're in legal and you rise from a junior associate to general counsel in-house in a company and it's still standalone, you're the expert. There isn't really management involved in your progression. And then the other side is a management-based progression. And actually, in the huge majority of industries, in order to progress, there's usually an aspect of management that comes into it, whether you've trained for management, whether management was something that even drew you to it, whether you've ever shown a particular competency for management. As you progress, you'll probably end up having to do it. And in that case, you usually have to move laterally. So you usually have to start exploring departments that you've never had, you know, direct experience with before and understanding things that you're not uniquely qualified to understand. I see you crunching your eyebrows at me.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, we're kind of getting a couple of steps ahead, I think. I mean, very first, you got to decide what kind of career do you want? Do you want to become like a specialist and or do you want to become like a generalist or do you want to become like I'm not going to say an event junkie, but someone who likes projects as such. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but if you want to be a solicitor or a barrister, you know, that's quite specific. Or even when, let's say, I want to be a doctor. Well, what kind of doctor do you want to be? Do you want to go down and be a surgeon? Do you want to be a GP? You know what I mean? It's clarifying, firstly, what direction you want to go and what the end goal is. And then working your way along. Do you want to be an independent contributor or do you want to be part of a team contributing? And these will inform the types of roles and decisions that you take going forward. And then obviously the problem with, you know, you getting the nod and be made manager of it or leading a team or a group is that they, you know, they're probably people that you were on a level with. And now you are there, kind of, you're their line manager and they're answering into you. So I think that's why a lot of people look at taking a line manager role that's a step removed from where they were, possibly because of that relationship dynamic, which some people find challenging. And some people don't know how to really deal with it versus kind of staying where they are and like managing, like in sport, I suppose the weird one is like when a guy you would have played with becomes the coach. So that happened like literally in Leinster with us in the space of 12 months. Leo Cullen went from having a beer with me after a game, playing a game in change room, to he actually became head coach, which is just another kind of level up, which was a strange one. One that I think he managed reasonably well, but still I'd say he found it difficult at the same time because he was dealing with people who he'd played with for 10 years. And so he had a particular relationship with them, but then he could start afresh with a new crop that never had him, never played with him. And that's kind of, I suppose that's the blending act that a lot of people find in work around the place.
And it's interesting because even beyond the relationship dynamics that happen when you move from being one of the team to the leader of the team, when I was first starting in management, and management when you're a journalist is really strange because most people who are attracted to journalism are introverts and are used to working by themselves, digging their heads down in the laptop and maybe not speaking to anyone for 9 hours. But to progress, you inevitably have to manage in journalism. And someone said to me, oh, well, it's like a sports analogy. Sometimes the best players make the worst managers, because when you're a really, really good player, you often aren't able to identify what it is that makes you so good and re-articulate that and share that with a team. Obviously not speaking about Leo specifically, but in general.
Well, and actually, sorry, in Leo, in that case, I think, look, Leo was accelerated into where he that top coaching role, but actually he identified that, okay, I'm a year in the job and now I'm the top person here in the organization, that's a little bit fast, and he removed his ego and he got people in. So that's how he ended up getting Stuart Lancaster, who is effectively the head coach, and Leo is now a director. He created the role to better fit his skill set at the time and brought in people around him to make that leadership team, for want of a better word, stronger. So an important thing is realizing that you're not, it's we've come back and said this before, that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So it's getting really, really smart people around you. Or, you know, let's say your middle management is working with those other managers and, you know, feeding off them in terms of what they're doing, you know, promoting the people on your team and accelerating them through. And like, really, your goal is to, you know, create an environment for your team to thrive. I mean, if you have an ego going, it's all me, 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 then you're setting yourself up for failure, I think, in the long run. And that's something, you know, it's something I suppose when you step into the role, you have to identify what kind of leader you want to be and where do you, you know, what you want to do, because how you start out will set the tone with your team in that first 90 days, that first 100 days, whatever, 60 days. There's all sorts of different books on it, but you do have to sit down and think about, okay, what kind of leader do I want to be? What's the tone? How do I want to lead by example? And you got to lay that out and think about it before you start out, because first impressions are hard to, you know, it's hard to do over.
Yeah, I think that's at the crux of it in modern management, is making sure that that ego is removed and that we don't try and resemble, like, I don't know, do you watch Billions with Axe? And he's the real scary manager, and it's not a thing anymore and it doesn't work. And there's management books that are rising up, like Brené Brown's vulnerability themed books, and all around how managers need to show vulnerability, be vulnerable, remove the ego in order to bring the best out of their team. And I think that's definitely what I have found. And as you're saying, bring people up who know what they're doing, and don't pull the ladder up behind you, certainly. But just make sure that you know your own weaknesses, that you can identify them.
Well, that whole command and control way of managing is gone. I think now you need a more, you know, kind of compassionate leadership. You know, it kind of went from, I think, you know, looking at different strategies and theories, it kind of went from agile leadership, and then they're talking a lot about compassionate leadership. At the end of the day, though, you do have to be fully aware that, yes, you can have everyone, and you should have everyone on your team, let them have their input into it. But at the end of the day, you do have to be the one that makes the hard decisions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they will be work out for you. Sometimes they won't. You've got to bear the brunt of that. You got to have your reasoning behind that. And also sometimes your team, you'll be going against what your team is deciding, and it's got to rest on your shoulders.
I think that's it. And when you remove the ego, you remove arbitrary rules. And when you, I think it's Simon Sinek wrote Start With Why. When you come back to the why of every expectation that you've set out for your team members, whatever reporting structure you have, that the whole team, from the most junior person in the building to the most senior, can come back to that why and understand why you're asking them to do something.
Yeah, and you've got to be able to communicate that as well. I mean, yeah. You've got to be able to communicate what are we trying to do here? You know, what's the goal? What's the mission? You know, who's responsible for what? Having buy-in along the way, having commitment towards that goal, having accountability to what you've set, and not get getting too personal, not getting personal about it, sure. But also having the empathy to build trust within the squad and look at them within the squad. I'm talking in rugby terms again, within the team, to like, trust is the number one thing. And to get trust, you've got to understand the whole person, and you've got to let them have buy-in, and you've got to let them, you know, you got to create that psychological safety that they can try stuff and make a mistake and kind of use it as a learning going forward.
And trust goes both ways. And I think it's really important with senior staff that you empower them to use their judgment as well. And provide you with solutions that you can then choose from, because nothing beats situational experience. And when your senior members of staff are embroiled in a situation, they probably know the answer better than you.
And that's the other thing with conflict. I mean, people think conflict's a bad word, but actually there's healthy conflict out there, and you should have healthy debate amongst. And this comes back to, okay, the decision will end up, if you're the manager, will end up going with you in terms of the direction maybe that team is going. But you let people have healthy debate around it, mm-hmm. and let them have their input around it, because they'll feel like they own it and they're part of that. They're part of the journey then as well.
We'll see you here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., same time, same place. Thanks, Jamie.
Take care.